We continue a lesson that we had started last week. I wrote it out and I thought, well, I might be able to do this in two, and it turned out to be three before I could get it all the way through. We were talking about the nature of the soul and the spirit. And last week we talked about the spirit, and we noted that in the Bible, the word spirit means wind, is what it literally means. And it's used in a variety of different ways. It refers to that of the spiritual realm, because we cannot see the spirits, but we can see the effects that they have on the world. So we cannot see the Holy Spirit, but we can see the effects that he has in the world. Those of angels and demons are also referred to as spirits. Again, normally we don't see them, but we see the effects that they may have in the world around us. And so they're referred to as spirits. Which then leads us also then to Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness, and let him have rule over the fish of the seas and the birds of the air, and it goes on. Mankind was made in God's image, in God's likeness. Well, God is spirit. And one of the things that we noted was that man has spirit. What does that mean? It basically means that we have thought. We can think and make decisions and decide on what we should and should not do. Because of those thoughts and those decisions, we have emotions with that as well. But more importantly, we find out from, for instance, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And in verse 7, that our spirits live on even after we die. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. It is our spirit that continues to live, even after we die. Because the spirit refers to who you are, and the thoughts you have, and the emotions that you have, and the fact that you live, even after death. Sometimes spirit is used to refer to an attitude, so we can talk about the state of mind somebody has, so that we can say somebody was troubled in their spirit, or that somebody was contrite of spirit, or has a proud spirit or a haughty spirit. We're talking about the attitude being expressed by the spirit of that person. And what we're going to talk about now today is the soul. The word in soul... Excuse me, I got a thing blocking my view. The word soul in the Hebrew language and in the Greek language basically mean the same thing. Nephse, and the Greek word is psyche. It basically means a living, breathing creature. Okay. In other words, it's the word for life. It can refer to the natural life in a body. Going back to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And in verse 20. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, get up and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life are dead. And the word there actually that's translated life is a word for soul. It's a Greek word for soul, psyche. In Leviticus chapter 17, Leviticus 17, and starting at verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. Now in that verse, even though it's translated both soul and life, it's the same word being used. It's the same Hebrew word for soul. The soul is in the blood. The life is in the blood. That's why it's given as atonement for the life or for the soul of a person. And it can refer to any living creature. Take a look at Revelation 16. Revelation chapter 16. And in verse 13. Revelation 16 verse 3. And the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. The word there is for soul. Every living or soul thing died. Every living creature. Animal life is referred to as having soul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45, as it written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. And the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Adam was made alive by God. So man is a living creature. Just as God made the other creatures on earth and made them alive. So in that we basically have something similar between animal life and human life. We're living. We have soul. We have life in us. But we're also different from the animal life because God made us in His image. We have spirit. Animal life is never referred to as having spirit. Mankind, though, has spirit. And so by extension, it can refer to a person. In fact, we still sometimes do that. Though it kind of drifts out of our language. But we do. We sometimes say, there was not a soul at the meeting. Okay? What we're saying is, it was a dead meeting. There was nobody there. Okay? So sometimes we refer to people as souls. Take a look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. So then, those who received his word were baptized, and that day there was added about 3,000 souls. The people were baptized, and because we refer to souls as people, 3,000 people were baptized that day. Or in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, and starting with verse 9. It says, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Every soul is equated to every man. It's just a different way of saying the same thing. It doesn't mean that we're only soul. We see that from other passages. We'll end with that one again. The one in Thessalonians basically said, man is made up of flesh, soul, and spirit. Not talking that we only have soul, but the fact that we can take that one attribute and represent man with it. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, and in verse 38, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. I want you to think what it is saying. God is referring to himself. My soul has no pleasure in him. What's he saying? God is alive. He's a living being. And referring to his life. And in John chapter 10, John chapter 10 and verse 24, it says, the Jews gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. Now that may not come across very clearly because all you see is the word us there. But what is interesting is if you actually look in the Greek, where we have us, it says our souls. So actually what it says in the Greek is, how long will you keep our souls in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell our souls plainly. And so what we end up is, I try illustrating here on the chart, when we talk about a person, a lot of times we refer to the person because we see the body. And we can see it, so therefore that's the person. But this idea of soul is the life that occupies that body, that makes it move, it makes it alive, it animates it. And because of that, sometimes we refer to the soul as the body, or the body as the soul. They kind of overlap a little bit. Even though there are distinctions between the two, we get loose in our language and we overlap the meanings a bit. Well, because our life refers to us, it can also refer to us back to our spirits, because our spirits are alive after we are dead. So when we die, the physical body dies, but the spirit continues to live, so it's still soul. It's still alive. Psalms chapter 16. Psalm 16 and verse 10. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. This is a prophecy about Christ. But Christ's soul went to the grave. His life didn't end when his body died and went into Hades. Or take a look at Revelation chapter 6. It talks about those who have been killed for the cause of Christ. And they're represented as being under the altar of God. In Revelation chapter 6, starting with verse 9. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Here the souls of those who are martyred are seen as being underneath the altar. They continue to live. How do I know? They're talking to God. They remember what life was like, and they're asking for, when are you going to take vengeance? When are you going to do something about the fact that we were killed? And so again, as we see the illustration, soul can overlap with the idea of spirit. It's the spirit that returns to God. But the spirit is alive, so it has soul. And so we can use one to refer to the other and overlap. That's where the confusion comes in. It's hard enough to keep the ideas straight. But then when the terms start being overlapped and you use one in place of the other, sometimes it gets confusing. And so sometimes too, the soul, the life, refers to the emotions of a person, their perceptions and their attitudes. We usually use spirit, but sometimes soul is used in place of that. So for instance, in Matthew chapter 11, now we're finally getting to where I wanted to be. Matthew chapter 11, and in verse 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Here's an attitude being expressed. You can find calmness. You can find rest for your lives, for your soul. Though probably what it's really referring to is your spirit in that sense. But soul represents that. Or in Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 28. Or 38, sorry. Matthew 26, verse 38. He said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved, to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." He felt sorrow within himself and expressed it, "My soul is deeply grieved." It's affecting him down to his very life. That's why he said it, because he says that it's down to the point of death. So the two words, he picked the word soul. Because soul is about a person's life. In Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And in verse 2. It says, "But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds," or souls is actually what is in the Greek, "of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren." They stirred up the people. They stirred up the life that was there. But they caused dissension. They caused anger. They stirred up an evil attitude in the people. And soul can also then refer to the seat of will and purpose and decision making. Again, because there's an overlap. So in Matthew chapter 22, and in verse 37, "And he said to them," to him, "you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Here's your purpose, your will. You can also see it as all your emotion. But it's talking about the sincerity of which you then serve God. Over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And in verse 6, it says, "Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Or some of your translations, the actual Greek word there is "from the soul." From the depths of your being, from your very life, you are to serve. Now, as we mentioned earlier, it's difficult sometimes to separate the concept of soul and spirit. But the Bible does make the distinction. As we had in our scripture reading this morning, in Hebrews chapter 4, and in verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is a living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." God's word is able to make a fine distinction between things that we normally can't determine. The point is it can determine between the thoughts and the intentions of a person. It is able to make judgments when used correctly. To illustrate it, he says it can even distinguish between the soul and the spirit. And so the Bible tells us we're made up of different things. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We started with this verse. We're going to end with this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mankind is made up of body, spirit, and soul. The body we understand is the physical thing that we see. The fact that we are alive says we have soul. But it's the fact that we have spirit that allows us to be like God. See, animals have life, but they can only do what they are instinctively made to do. Mankind can take his spirit and override what his life normally would do. It makes us different. It makes us like God in that sense. And like God, we live beyond death. We return to God. Question, though, is what happens to us after death? See, God says that we can either spend eternity in hell, separated away from Him, punished for all eternity, or we can live with Him. Because we are made in the image of God. And we can join with our Maker to live all eternity with Him. But the choice is ours. There's an opportunity here today. If there's anyone who is not yet a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. And if there's anyone here who is not a child of God, there's no better time than also right now to do what is right. If you are a child of God. And if you have sinned and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, we have that opportunity as well. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selected.